Now let's continue with faith in the end time. We could list this in many different ways: faith in the end time, faith to endure to the end, living faith, so forth. Let's come to James, the second chapter, where we left off. Now here's a very interesting verse, which is in the King James, not translated correctly, and you lose the whole meaning of it. Now the King James says, "Yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Now that is an incorrect translation, though it is a true statement. So let's read the proper translation, because it really carries a lot. Because if you don't have faith, you don't have works. That's the true answer. Now, verse 18, but someone is going to say, "You have faith and I have works." My answer is, you prove your faith to me through your works. So whatever you say you believe in God? Do you obey Him? You believe in the truth? Do you cling to the truth? You believe that God cannot lie? Then do you believe His commandments? Do you believe some of His commandments? Why don't you believe all His commandments? And he says, "And I will prove my faith to you through my works," because faith is going to result in action. Always. Faith is based upon belief, and if you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or you truly believe that God exists, you're going to do something about it, right? Yes, you are. Now, he gives this comparison, which is so true of the world. Verse 19, do you believe that God is one? You do well to believe this. Even the demons believe and tremble in fear, because they have rejected the works of God required by angels. Now then, he gives some more examples here. So to say, I believe there is a God, you just joined the ranks of the demons. Which is different than an atheist who says, I don't believe in God. So if you say, I believe in God, I believe there is a God, then you've taken one step away from the atheist. If you believe there is a God, then the next question is, do you believe what He says written in His Word? And if you truly believe that this is the Word of God, all of it, because you can't come in and pick and choose, then you're in trouble. Now, let's just hold your place right here and come back to, let's come back and see what's going to happen to the demons. Revelation 20. Satan and the demons are, though they believe there is God, they know, they have seen Him, they have suffered His punishment. And before they have suffered His punishment and His final punishment to come, they insisted on their own way. Now let's pick it up here, Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And, of course, the devil, then all the demons will go with him too. Let's ask a question. Did their belief in God do them any good? No. So to say, I believe there is a God, does not do you any good unless you act upon that. And if you believe that God is true and cannot lie, and that it is that His Word is true, why then do so many people pick and choose what they want out of the Bible and are unwilling to believe God. See, because there is a distinct difference. Now, let's come back here to James, the second chapter. There's a distinct difference to believing there is a God and believing God. Because if you believe God, that means you're going to do what God says. If you believe there is a God, that does not mean that you're going to do what God says. Because, as he says, faith without works is dead. Now, verse 20. If you're willing to understand, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead, are you willing to believe that? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, we're going to see in just a little bit, every time it talks about faith, there are works that follow. Now, he had to believe God and was willing to obey him. Now, we'll talk about that when we get to Hebrews 11 here in just a bit. Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works his faith was perfected? See, because faith is something you grow in. You grow in grace, you grow in knowledge, you grow in faith, and all of that comes from God. Perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Now, let's come over here to the first chapter of James, and let's see what James also writes about faith. Begin right here in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are in the dispersion. Question, if you're going to write a letter to someone, you're going to know where they are, right? And if he says they're in dispersion, he knew where they were in the dispersion. Otherwise, why write a letter to them if he didn't know where they were? Do this. Try sending a letter in the mail to anyone who may receive this and see how the post office handles that. Or to whom it may concern. Yes. No. Just another little understanding about Israel and prophecy, and that they knew that where the 12 tribes were during the days of the apostles. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you are beset by various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So if you can't endure the testing of your faith, you won't have any works, and your faith is in vain because you don't believe. But let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect. And that's what we're talking about over here, isn't it? That by works, Abraham's faith was perfected, not lacking in anything. However, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to everyone freely and does not reproach the one who asks, and it shall be given him. Now, this applies to anything, for wisdom, for understanding, for knowledge of the Scripture, for repentance, for forgiveness, for grace, and so forth. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not doubting, and we saw how to get rid of doubts there in Mark the 9th chapter, not doubting at all, because the one who doubts is like a wave driven, like a wave of the sea that is driven by the wind and tossed to and fro. Do not let that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So you see, the faith that comes from God is a gift of God, a gift of the Holy Spirit, which will cause us then to act upon what we believe. Let's just start with a very simple one that everyone knows. Everyone who goes to church on Sunday knows which is the first day of the week. And by the fact that you know which is day is the first of the week, you also know which day is the seventh day of the week, which says that you know the Sabbath. Now, if you believe God, not just in God, and if you believe the Word of God, why don't you heed the commandment which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Because if you truly believe God and believe in God and have faith in God, then you will keep the fourth commandment. So try that on for size and see how it fits. Let's come here to Hebrews 11. This is called the faith chapter. And let's see something very important with this, that everyone who is listed here, you know they're going to receive eternal life. And let's see what it tells us of this. Let's come first of all to Hebrews 11. Let's begin in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance, and that's the exact translation of the Greek, meaning that it comes from God's Spirit. The faith of God comes from God's Spirit. King James says, faith is the evidence or conviction. But if you have the faith of God, which comes from the Holy Spirit of God, which then is the substance of God, then you have conviction, and you know what you believe. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the things hoped for are not yet in hand, and the conviction of things not seen. That's why it's so important. And this is what faith does for you. Then faith develops into hope. And hope and faith combined together develops into the love of God. Now, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God, so that the things that are seen were made from the things that are invisible. And that is a true scientific statement today, is it not? They still don't know what is the power behind the atom. They still don't know what it is. Now, let's look what happens when people see these things and don't believe these things. Let's come to Romans, the first chapter. And this is how society becomes so wicked and evil. And as we see the society in the United States now becoming more satanic and demonic as it goes along, is because they're not responding to God. Now let's begin in verse 17, Romans 1. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith. Now, that's a very interesting verse in the Greek. And that means your belief in God to God and God's Spirit and His faith coming to you. And so it is like a connected, as we could say, electrical circuit, if we could use an analogy, but it is a spiritual circuit between you and God. You have God's Spirit, you have faith in God, you believe God, and you love God, and you hope in His promises, and all of that is all contained in it, you see. And faith is renewed from God to you, and you back to God. From faith, and the Greek actually is into faith. It is an interacting faith. It's not an isolated one out here. Now, notice what it causes you to do. According as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, if you live, that means that that is stating action, right? And if you believe God, you'll believe His Word. Is that not true? And how did Jesus say that man should live? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this tells us that's how we are to live. So if you're not doing that, you need to question, ask yourself, do I really have faith unto salvation? Or do I have faith like the water that James described back in James, the first chapter? You're one way one time, one way another time, and you're not solid and firm. Well, how can you endure to the end? Now, here's what happens when men believe there is a God, but do not believe God, do not have faith in God, do not act upon that faith. Verse 18. Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, if you don't believe men do that, all you have to do is just look at the modern media in America today, and you understand they suppress the truth. As we mentioned earlier in our discussion before services, there was not one casualty in Iraq last week, and none of the modern media put it out. See? They suppress the truth. They massage the truth. They make it into a lie. Now let's see why. Suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Are they doing that in schools? Are they doing that in government? Are they trying to do it in everyone's private life? Yes. Because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested it to him. How did God manifest it to him? To them, rather. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world. Now, this is especially true today when we have all of these fantastic things showing the universe and the solar system and the atom and everything about the creation of God, and yet they have the nerve on these television programs, especially the History Channel and National Geographic, that they all talk about evolution and they start with the Big Bang. And the reason they start with the Big Bang is because they want to exclude God. Someone ought to say, well, tell us, how did these things come to be so that there would be a Big Bang? And if you can tell us this, then I'll listen. If you start with the Big Bang, you're already stealing from God. Now let's go on. See, because they suppress it, God made it known to him, for the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, both his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let's come back here to Deuteronomy 30. This is an oft-read scripture, but let's fit it in here and see what the witness against them is. It's quite a thing. Deuteronomy 30. Because this is what God has set before all human beings. Verse 15. See, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live by faith, Romans 1, and multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away, which we're going to read back here in Romans 1 that they did, so that you will not hear, and shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, which we'll read in Romans, the first chapter, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. And you shall not prolong your days upon the land that where you go to pass over the Jordan to possess it. Now notice, God has a witness. So if you say you believe there is a God, and if you say that God is true, then you are standing upon the witness, and you have the witness before you all the time. You're never without the witness of God of His creation. And that's what's so important concerning Romans 1. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. Do you know there is a heaven? Yes. Do you know there is an earth? Yes. You're standing on it. And you can go out and look at the heaven anytime you want to, day or night. And if you fly in a plane, you can even go to heaven temporarily. And when I fly, I'm always happy when the plane lands with both wings on. Okay? Yes. Now, think of this. One man said, well, I'll keep the Sabbath if God would come down and tell me to keep it. Are you standing on the earth? Can you see the heavens? God has told you. Now what are you going to do? Do you want to be struck down with a lightning bolt? Would you believe that? All right. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice. And if you have a Bible, you have the witness and testimony of God in your own house, and it contains the written recording, the transcript, like a court transcript of the Word of God that tells you what to do, that you may cleave unto Him, for He is your life. You have no life, no existence without God. He created you, He made you in His image. And the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. And God has placed all people in all nations in their inheritance that He gave to them. Now, let's come back to Romans, the first chapter again. So we see how this applies not just to the children of Israel, because I'm sure there are going to be some say, well, that's just to the Jews. Well, no, it's not. It's actually to all people. Because God said if you had someone from another nation living within your community of the 12 tribes of Israel, that they would keep the laws and commandments of God as well. And that's another whole history. Okay, now in the very near future, I'm going to start a series on Israel and the Jews. But if you believe Abraham was a Jew, you believe a lie. If you believe Moses was a Jew, you believe a lie. If you believe that all Israel are Jews, you believe a lie. And it's clearly differentiated in the Bible. So I'll give a series on that starting pretty quickly, because we need to do that. Now let's come back to Romans 1. God says they're without excuse. Why? Because of heaven and earth, and they knew. And right at the Tower of Babel, did they know God? Absolutely. Without a doubt. Now notice, verse 21, because when they knew God, and they did, and God has revealed Himself to every generation subsequently, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own reasonings. reasoning around the Word of God, reasoning around the truth of God. Well, my opinion is, or I think. Now, let me ask you a question. If you truly believe in God, do you believe that He has superior intelligence to human beings? Yes. If you truly believe in God, do you believe that His Word is truth? Well, you probably answer yes to that, but most people would say, yes, but. And if God is perfect, do you think He would devise His Word so poorly that He had to abolish almost all of it to satisfy some people? And if you believe that, you are truly ignorant. No. That's because they became vain in their own reasonings. Now, that applies to any part of the Word of God you want to get rid of. Now, what happens when you do that? What happens when you reject God? People think they're enlightened. But the light that they have, Jesus said, is darkness. And if Jesus said, and if the light that is in you is darkness, great is that darkness. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, how do they overcome this? Well, they used the suspender trick. What do I mean by that? Just picture some pompous man who gives himself off as wise, taking his thumbs and sticking them under his suspenders and saying, I don't believe there is a God. Or, I don't believe that we need to keep this law of God or that law of God. Or, well, I believe that Jesus was merely the minister to the circumcision of the Jews. And when Paul wrote what he wrote, that doesn't apply to the Jews. So we need to go through the epistles of Paul and we need to pick out the things that we agree with. Never asking the question, if you do that, does God agree with you? And if you judge the law of God unworthy, you're judging God unworthy. So then what happens? See? Professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools. Every evolutionist, this is your shoe. So you might as well put it on. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of a corruptible man and of birds and four-footed creatures and creeping things. Those are called idols. And remember the second commandment? What are the first four words? You shall not make. Shouldn't even be around. But every religionist and minister and Catholic priest says, well, we don't worship those. God said, don't even make them. Why do you have them? Let's move on. And what do they make them like into? Corruptible man. Now, you look at St. Peter's Basilica. What do you have around the top of that semicircle where the colonnades are? What do you have? You have statues of saints, right? Statues, rather, of saints. Men. Corruptible men. Did they all die? Yes. Well, why do you have the statue up there, and how can you pray to someone who is dead? Now, if that is not foolish, I don't know what is. And of birds. What about the totem pole? Four-footed creatures, bears, lions, buffaloes, creeping things, snakes, serpents, cobras. And even the Egyptians had a thing with beetles. Now, what happens when you do this? There's an automatic penalty that happens to people because they don't have faith in God. For this cause, God also abandons them to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to disgrace their bodies between themselves. And the first thing that happens is what? Illicit, perverted, corrupt sex. That's the sin of every society. Not only here in America, but if you think we're bad here in America, find out about Thailand. Find out about Cambodia. Selling their children for pennies to be sex slaves. And then what happens? Verse 25. Oh, we've all got to have a religion we agree on. So they exchange the truth of God for the lie. That's the lie of Satan the devil. And they worshipped and served the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed into the ages. Amen. And then you have a society that degenerates into one like we have now. And it's all based upon false faith, false belief, relying in self, and rejecting God. So that's quite a thing, isn't it? Let's come to Hebrews 11. We didn't get very far with it, but let's continue on here. Now let's see what faith is to motivate us to do. By faith, Abraham offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, because Cain did not have faith. He wanted to do it his way, and if you want to do it your way, you don't have faith in God to do it his way. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, though he died, he is yet speaking. Now that tells you the power and value of the Word of God, correct? Yes. By faith, Enoch was transported so that he would not look upon death, and was not found, that is, by those who were seeking his life, because God had transported him. He did not go to heaven. He went into the first heaven where there are clouds and came back to the earth. That's another whole story. We won't get into that right now. For before his departure, it was testified of him that he pleased God. Ask yourself a question. Do I do the things that please God? And what is pleasing to God? Do you know what is pleasing to God? Think about this for a minute. If you attempt to worship God with lies like Cain did, do you think you please God? Let's ask another question. Can you worship the God of truth with lies? Though you may say, I believe in God, but you don't believe God enough to worship God the way he says to. God says, I'll hear your prayers, I'll answer your prayers, here's how you approach me, you worship me in spirit and in truth, and I will hear you, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. But you say, no, God, I've got a better way. I think that it ought to be this way. So you can do the things that please God, without a doubt. Now, verse 6. Now, without faith, now that means the true faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you have the wrong kind of faith, or you have no faith, how can you say you worship God? See, because you have to worship him in spirit and truth, not with rosaries, not with beads, not with idols, not with pictures, not with candles, not with incense, from your heart. A true repentant heart, you see. Now continuing verse 6, for it is mandatory for the one who comes to God to believe that he exists, and then goes one step further. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How do you seek God? by prayer, by study, by living your life the way that God has said. Now let's look at the case of Noah. By faith, after being divinely instructed by God about the things he could not yet see, was moved with fear and prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh, righteousness by faith before the New Testament. That's all the way through. Did not Abraham have righteousness by faith? Did not Moses have righteousness by faith? Likewise, Isaac and Jacob? Yes, indeed. See? Now, what if Noah would have said, Lord, what do you mean that you're going to flood the world? I've never seen a rain like that. Why should I build an ark? Let me just climb this mountain and go over into the next valley, so when you flood this valley, I'll be out of the way and everything will be just fine. See, that's the way that the non-believers portray it on the History Channel concerning the flood. They don't believe that it covered the whole earth, yet the whole earth is a witness that there was a flood upon the whole earth. And I remember walking up on a mountain 12,000 feet up in Wyoming where they have this sandy shale rock, and I picked up all kinds of fossilized trilobites at 12,000 feet. Well, if it only flooded into a little valley next to where Noah was, well, how then could it be at 12,000 feet? No, it says it covered the whole earth, the hills and the mountains, 15 cubits upward. Now, 15 cubits is what? That is approximately, that's 22 and a half to 23 feet. Now, have you ever seen anything survive that breathes that was for, how should we say, it was 7 months, wasn't it? Yes. No, 5 months, 150 days, and it quit raining. So by the time it all receded, it was a little over a year. Has anyone survived that long without breathing underwater? That's right. Yeah, you got big lungs. You hold your breath for a long time. All right, let's see what else. You see, if you have faith, you do what God says. Well, let's read about Abraham, and we'll end it here because we're running out of time. By faith, being called of God to go into the place which he would later receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went, not knowing where he was going. But he obeyed God. See? Faith and obedience. So if you say you have faith, then let's see your obedience. Let's see what kind of obedience that he had. Hold your place here and come back to a verse that we often visit. And this is especially for the sake of those who don't believe in keeping the commandments of God. We repeat this for a little salt in your non-believing wound. Genesis 26. Genesis 26, and here God confirms the promise to Isaac. And here's what he told Isaac. Let's begin in verse 3. Genesis 26 and verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and to your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. God is not like a human being. He cannot lie. So once he swore that he would do it, he would. He promised it. Now, have you kept all your promises? Have you promised God some things that you have never done? Need to think about it. Verse 4, "And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because that Abraham did what? Obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." He didn't say, "God, I think." He didn't say, "God, that law's not fair." He didn't say, "God, I don't want to keep your Sabbath," because the Sabbath was some creation. He obviously kept it if he was righteous, because all the commandments of God are righteousness, are they not? Show me one commandment of God that is unrighteous. There aren't any. Now, Paul also wrote that if you are Christ, then you're what? Abraham's seed? Do you do like Abraham? Obey his voice, keep his charge, keep his commandments, his laws, his statutes? Or are you an illegitimate? I won't say son, because you can't be a son, but are you an illegitimate believer because you won't obey? And that's what all Orthodox Christendom needs to ask themselves today, and yea, even the churches of God today. Because how many are so socialized in social events? I remember reading a paper from a church, and all they did was have all the social events that they had there, and I was wondering, when do they go to church? And when they do go to church, what do they really hear? Do they really hear the Word of God? Or are they all being massaged with nice stories and things, and have become lukewarm and can't stand the real truth of God, and you don't have enough faith to really obey God, and you don't have enough faith to stand on your own two feet and be able to keep the truth even if you have to stand alone? Remember this, you're better standing alone with the truth of God than to stand in the congregation of pretenders and have numbers. How many were with Abraham? Aha! That believed like Abraham. Only his wife. How many were with Isaac? Only his wife. How many really believed like Moses? Not one. So you need to ask yourself, what do you really believe? What kind of faith do you really have? See? Because if you have the faith that pleases God, you will obey God. Now let's come back here to Hebrews 11. And we'll finish off the next couple verses here. Verse 9, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise like a foreigner, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, joint heirs of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city with the foundations of which God was the architect and builder." Now, when you understand that statement referring to New Jerusalem, that is correct. But when you look at this statement and you look back that Abraham was not that far removed from the Tower of Babel and the city that they built in Babylon, you understand the reference to what this is, because that was built by Nimrod, Semiramis, and all the rebellious people. And God makes it clear that if they hadn't believed, they would have had opportunity to leave and return. Now let's go on. "By faith also Sarah herself received power to conceive seed." Try that at 90 years old, and your husband being 100. "And gave birth when she was well beyond the childbearing age, because she esteemed him faithful who had personally promised her a son." And he performed it. "Because of this faith there came into being one man, and moreover one who was... came from one man, and moreover from one who was reproductively dead, descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now notice verse 13. All these died in faith, through faith,
not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Because you've got to keep focus on the goal every day. That's why the prayer every day is, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And having been persuaded, and that persuasion not only means persuaded, but that means convicted, and having embraced them, and that means that you bring them closely into your heart and mind and being, and having confessed that they were strangers and sojourners in the earth. And that's what we are today. For those who say such things make it manifest that they seek their own country, the kingdom of God, as promised by God. Now here's a little warning, and we will finish with this. And if on the one hand they had let their minds dwell fondly on the place where they had come from, they might have had opportunity to return. Yes, indeed, because Satan is always there saying, come on, come on. Verse 16, but now on the other hand, they are aspiring to a more excellent country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God because he has prepared a city for them. Now we'll finish with one closing scripture back here in John 14. And as we're turning back to John 14, let's understand what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, I work and my Father is working. And please understand, the work of God coming from the Father in Jesus Christ not only upholds the whole universe, but is working in our lives. And also, they are preparing a place for us. And that's what's so important to understand and realize. So let's finish with this promise by Jesus. If we have faith, then we do exactly as Jesus said, John 14 and verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, and that is New Jerusalem. If it were otherwise, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's what God is doing for each one of the saints, from Abel all the way down to the last two witnesses. And here's a promise. So don't let the things in the world, don't let the political situations in the world, don't let anything deter you from understanding, believing, and having faith in God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. So that's the kind of faith we need to see us through the end times.